Live. Welcome back, beautiful people of Community Christian Church.
My mouth is full.
You guys are quiet today.
I had food in my mouth. I'm sorry. I couldn't make it more exciting.
Hello, Roger, and two other people.
So, what kind of announcements do we have? Oh, yeah, take it, bro. Of course. Have fun.
Good luck.
Good luck.
I don't know if it's all good, but there's some good in there. Yeah, it's a book about like the first century writings, like people like that were like a couple decades after Christ and the apostles.
Wow.
Some of them are good so far.
Yep.
Did you end up reading that Philippians one? Was it good?
I'm going to do it. My audiobook. Yeah. I have audiobook coming
in. Yeah.
With the diabetes.
That's the first one.
Not that I'm home. Yeah. That one's like, cool. Yeah.
That one's
cool. We'll try it on my
Maybe you'll do cake.
Yep.
Oh, that's so sick.
It's so sick, dude. I love that.
I just said people that don't ski.
That too.
All right, any announcements? We got anything on Saturday? No, we don't got anything on Saturday?
There's a woman's Bible study on the 23rd.
I'm still going to laugh at that.
One of the ladies want to correct me or correct us if we're wrong?
There's a women's Bible study on the 23rd, and then there's two others.
It is right there.
Oh,
yeah
it's right there. 27th.
Yeah.
And then there's two others in April, 13th and 27th.
Oh, wait, that's
so
April.
So that would be three. Leah, that would be three.
Oh, Julie has to go to four?
Right. It's only going to take
We have a sunrise service on the 31st at 6 a.m. Paul will be preaching that one, I believe, right?
The 6 a.m.
Okay.
Who's and preaching then, Sunday?
This Sunday? Should be Memo.
She's like, I'll be there.
And you're doing
if it was Matt, no.
Yeah, and then I'll be doing the 9 o'clock Easter. So it'll be
and
fun.
There's food in between.
And then Mikey will be preaching the nights. I'm just kidding.
I always tell him. He does it so simply. He's so simple.
I'm sorry, I was joking.
Keep going. All right. So, with that being said, let us pray in.
We got some really good news, too.
Oh, good news. Let's hear it.
There you go.
So what?
I finally got a
deal. Oh, nice. Shaka bra, bro.
May 21st.
Here we go.
Let's go. By the way, no one online could hear you because you're talking like this.
I guarantee those are going to bring me up. I can repeat it. They need to hear you, though.
Well, I'm sure they caught him. We have it set up to where like everybody catches everybody.
And I have that thing set so that you can, those things catch basically everything.
Yeah.
You could drop a pin and it would probably catch it.
So, finally. Anything else? Any other good news?
I think that's about it.
He is risen.
Sloan's gaining weight.
Oh, woo! Praise God.
So we're good. With that being said, let's jump right in into scripture, yeah?
Why don't we pray in?
That's what I meant to say.
She caught you good.
I tried to pray, and then you guys stopped me.
And I was even writing and concentrating.
All right. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We ask that you give us the knowledge that we need to produce wisdom, Lord. That whatever you show us today is brought into our own life, and we can share it with others, Lord. not just out of like doing so, but because we want to and we're excited about it, Lord. So help us see the scriptures that in the way that you would like us to see, Lord. We thank you for this church. Forgive us for our sins so we can dwell in your house, Lord. Bless the study ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
So anyone want to tell me about what happened on Tuesday?
You slept.
You read about the Bible.
Too smart, Alex. I'm sorry.
We talked about paying.
What a wonderful church.
Paying tax to Caesar.
Oh, paying taxes to Caesar?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Murder that one's a double-edged sword for me, you know?
The godless God.
Yeah.
I used to say all tax is theft.
Basically, in a nutshell, you gotta obey the law of the land.
Yeah. Alright, well, where are we at then?
So we are at, oh, that's a test question. We're at 1 Corinthians 13:13, and then we're going to go to Mark 12:18. The heart is seen.
Alright. Ooh, this is a good one.
Why are they sad? Because they say there's no resurrection.
All right, so anyone want to open us up with... Mike, how would you open us up with Corinthians? I'd like to hear what you got. You say it so simply.
Show off. All right,
it says... 1 Corinthians 13:13.
Yes, sir.
Says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity, which you guys have loved, which, you know, is an example.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The free giving away. And we read that because. Next question. This is what we're looking for in the scripture today.
Yeah, exactly.
And what I like about it is like where it talks about everything perishing, everything in this world perishing. And then these are only three things that will exist at the end of everything. You know, everything will perish, things that you buy will turn to rust, and they will become nothing. But these things will follow you. And they're enough for now and for the future.
Amen.
Whatever you do for yourself, you'll come to the end of it really fast. And you'll see that there's nothing there. And you hope for the things in this world and see that there's nothing here. And it's all God's plan for the future. So they abide forever.
Right. Exactly. Well put. For sure.
Yeah, I said it.
All plans for the future. I like that way of saying it.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it.
Oh, I don't like the future.
That's fine.
I know. I'm making a joke.
It's a fan. It's just a little warm.
Because the heat goes right across the ceiling and holding for one radiation through the heat goes.
All right. So, we are in Mark 12, 18. Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you guys like me to read, or does someone want to lead us?
Guess you read.
You were having
some reading, huh?
Your body up like you wanted to.
All right.
No.
Verse 18. It says... Then the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him with a question. Teacher, they said, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife, but no children, the man must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first one married and died without leaving any children. The second one married the widow, but he also died, leaving no children. It was the same with the third. In fact, none of the seven left any children. Last of all, the woman died too. At the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her? Jesus replied, "Are you not in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God? When the dead rise, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. Now about the dead rising, have you not read in the book of Moses in the account of the burning bush, how God said to him, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob'? He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You were badly mistaken."
You're mistaken.
Well, they were, right?
Because they didn't believe in the resurrection. And, he's pointing out right there that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob have been resurrected. They're not dead.
What you got first, Tony? To come back to life. What do you got, Laura? You're shaking your head.
No, nobody.
Okay.
Is it betrayed bad that they didn't have children? Or what is he saying?
Well, I think if they all kept dying, I'd probably be scared of the widow.
I like that answer.
That's an odd way to look at it.
Eventually, after the seven of them.
After she took out seven of them. Right.
I was just trying to be funny, but
it was pretty funny.
It worked, bro.
I believe in heaven, we're going to know people. We're going to know them the same we know them here. But there's not going to be... it's a whole different way of thinking. I mean, we're not bound by the emotional attachments we have here. We're set free of all that. I mean, I believe there's going to be joy. The good emotions, I believe, are going to be there. But those physical attachments that we have in this life, and we're bound by a lot of stuff, from greed and lust and pride and all that stuff. And we're set free from that. The Bible says there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more heartache.
And this one, I see that the Sadducees.
Sadducees
didn't have any faith because they didn't read it, because Jesus answered, did you not know the scriptures of the power of God? I see the aspect of faith, but I don't see love.
You understand where their question came from? Do you understand that at all? So the Sadducees were teachers of the law, and they believed in such a thing. So in Deuteronomy 25, it talks about if your brother dies and leaves a widow without children, that she's not to marry outside of the family, right? So they're asking a question, what if there's seven brothers, which one is she married to at the end of them? So the way they're interpreting the scripture itself from reading it
was a worldly view
instead of understanding from the scripture, the heart of the scripture, instead of the aspect of where.
I get what she's saying. she's talking about the resurrection, that their faith wasn't in God having power. So where is the faith? Like, why did they not think that God didn't have the power to resurrect? So that was her question.
Oh, like why the Sadducees believed in what they did? Well, it's the same way like how certain Christian denominations believe in such a way that they think their thought process is better than the other, instead of just being united with everybody.
They put themselves above everybody.
Yeah, they put their knowledge in front of them instead of their faith in front of them. So it's of course that their faith is little, but they think they have a lot of knowledge because they put their knowledge in their forefront. So that's why they believe in the way they do, because they didn't see it with their own eyes.
Right.
You know, oh, there's no way this happened. This doesn't make sense. This isn't magic, kind of thing. Instead of believing on the faith and understanding what the scriptures actually call for.
Yeah.
Because if they understood what the scriptures say, because all the New Testament is just a summary of what the Old Testament talked about, right? Like everything, like all the letters that were written, all were gotten from the Old Testament. They didn't have, like, when Paul was writing these letters, he couldn't reference, you know, mm-hmm. other letters that were written. All he had was what was in front of him, right? Which was the Old Testament at the time.
And the New Testament's the fulfillment of it.
Yeah, so their faith is, they put more of their knowledge in the world than they do. Right. So they're not wise, they're just knowledgeable, right? Because to be wise is to have the true knowledge, right? But they have the knowledge of the world, which is just knowledge.
It's like a person taking and reading and studying this and gaining a headly knowledge, a worldly knowledge of the Bible instead of seeking Christ. Like Paul said, he said in Galatians, the things I've learned, I didn't receive it from men. I didn't receive it from the other apostles. I didn't go to them and have them teach me. I received it by revelation from Christ. And that's what Jesus says, you know, if you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand any parable? Well, that's a parable in itself. The answer is by asking him, because that's what they just did. What I'm quoting, he said, you know, what's the meaning of this? You know, and that's how you understand, by asking Jesus and having him reveal it to you, and not trying to think and reason this out by yourself, but seeking Christ on it.
Yeah, because when you think about it yourself, your thought process only knows the world, so you're you're constricted to what the world knows, right? But when you believe in God, that knowledge surpasses the knowledge of the world.
Because it says here, I mean, I don't know what your guys' book said, but and probably saying that it says here, your mistake, this is Jesus' reply, your mistake is that you don't know the scripture. So he basically told them.
Yeah.
And you don't know the power of God.
Right.
Yeah. Right there. I think it's straight to answer her.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, they don't
yeah, they read the scriptures and thought it through the world.
They don't know the power of God, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, but mine says here, for when the dead rise, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage.
Right.
In this respect, they will be like the angels in heaven.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of that? You got a question on it? We're all going to love each other, right?
Love each other equally.
Right.
We're gonna, that's how I'm like, okay.
And that's what I mean, like the angels. Don't mistake in that. We don't become angels.
No, we're like.
We're like them, so we can, we will be able to go to and fro the same way the angels do, you know, and be eternal beings. But yeah, it's.
Because the angels have no free will, right?
They have no free will, yeah. They're just told what to do.
But we're just like them, we're not the angels.
Right.
Do we still have free will?
Yeah, but we'll be in that will of the Lord instead of our own will. We'll want to do the Lord's will.
That is our free will.
Yeah.
It's literally entirely removing the flesh.
Yeah, it's like one step more than the angels. Like the angels have to do what the Lord says, right?
We want to.
And then we want to do what the Lord says. It's like the difference.
It's like Jesus, right? Jesus came on earth, he was in the flesh and everything, and was just like us, except his entire will was going towards the Lord. Like, he went even to death for the Lord, because that's what the Lord asked him to do. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing, is not to the death part, don't get me wrong, but we'll have that type of will.
And wasn't he before he died, wasn't he, like, split from God?
Oh, he split from God? No.
She's talking about in heaven.
No, she's talking about when he died on the cross.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus, yeah. When he bore our sins, when he took our sins upon him, he agonized about it in the garden before they took him to the cross. On the cross, he took all our sins. And while he took those on, he was now separated from God. God can't be in the presence of our sin. You know, he is holy and pure. And so in that, he took that on and he experienced a separation from God that we never have to experience. Never, ever, ever. Because he did it.
When we do a sin, we take God into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you have the Holy Spirit living in you. And now when you go into that sin, you're taking the Holy Spirit into that sin.
Yeah, Paul puts it into like a deep perspective. If you lie one with a prostitute, you make Christ one with that prostitute. Like when you think, it needs to think about the depth of like where Christ is at with you in your sin.
You look sad.
She's in deep thought. Yeah, I kind of messed you up with my example. I'll be honest.
You have to understand. No matter how many times we died, no matter how much blood we shed, the full wrath of the Father was on His perfect Son, and that until it was satisfied. So we could never do that.
And if we could,
and we never want to,
Jesus wouldn't have needed to come.
Right.
If we could have done it, Jesus wouldn't have needed
to
come.
No, He wouldn't have had to come.
Yeah. And the love I see in this is that, you know, even though the Sadducees were who they were, Jesus still loved them enough to explain this to them. And I don't think He beat them up about it. He just told them, well, you're in error.
Isn't the word convicting? And it tells you exactly what you're doing wrong when you read it the right way.
Right. And the fact is, if you love someone, are you going to be nice to them and cheery all the time and not tell them when they're making a mistake, not tell them what's going to hurt them? And if you love someone, you're going to go through those hard things. You know, ever remember like in high school when you see one of your friends is a boyfriend or girlfriend and they're cheating on them and you tell that person, right? And when you tell them, all of a sudden you become the enemy because they trust that person.
Dang, it's like
you know, but it's like you love them enough to tell them and bear the burden, right? And that's what love is. Love is telling people the hard things. You're doing it in love, but it's not loving them if you just let it go and let them stay in that. You know, you don't care. You know, if you don't say something, but you gotta say it in love. It has to be in love. I tell Nick that all the time. It'd be so much easier if I didn't care.
So you're saying when we correct has to be in love?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It says that if you do not love, then you're just the creaking of a rusty gate.
So if you don't love is when you don't, you know, and you love that person, you don't correct them, if that's what you're saying?
No, what I'm saying is if you don't have love with what you're doing, even if you have the power to heal, you have the power to walk on water, and you have the power to raise the dead, but if you don't love through it, if you don't do love, we talked about this in my class, remember? Mm-hmm. If you don't have love with it, it's all meaningless.
You're so, just making
so
noise.
So technically, this is what they didn't have no love. It's right here, right?
Well, their issue is that they...
Satuous, they didn't have no love because they were asking, right? But Jesus showed them the love.
Right, he showed them the love because...
But they had no love.
Well,
no, I think
they
were...
It's just they had a misunderstanding of the scriptures. They weren't seeking...
the Lord in it, they were getting man's own understanding from it.
Even in asking that question, them thinking the Messiah is not the Messiah, they're just going to another man for the knowledge, mm-hmm. right?
They were taunting him, right? Because they didn't even believe in resurrection itself.
And then to ask a question like that.
Yeah. Right.
It was like a gotcha moment they were trying to
get. That's why when you read the very first verse, what Jesus replies with, it says, "Are you not in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God?"
Uh-huh. Either way, he could, even if they didn't believe it, God could still raise the dead.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So he was like confronting their error and believing in not, I guess, them not. Yeah.
You got the King James version? Can you read 25 and 6 for me?
It says, "For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor give it in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead, that they rise, have ye not read in the book of Moses, how in the bush God spake unto them, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore be greatly erred."
Okay. I'm just curious.
That mean in the account of the bush?
So it's talking about when Moses was first called by God. It was the burning bush that called him, right?
Bush that was on fire but wasn't being burned.
Mm-hmm. It's in the Prince of Egypt. I think it's in there, right?
Yeah, the movie. And take off your sandals, for this is holy ground.
Yeah. Did you really say the Prince of Egypt?
Yeah, I think that's
the movie.
It's a movie.
The movie is
the old cartoon.
Most children, that's how they know the burning bush is the Prince of Egypt.
She's like, yeah.
I thought that was a whole another story about Joseph.
No. It's just an animated movie about Moses.
Oh, the Prince of Egypt. I get it. Moses was.
Never read the Bible, but watch that.
Yeah, that's why I referenced it, because that's how most kids know what the burning bush was, is from that movie, not from the book of Exodus.
the creaking of a rusty gate and everything. I like how for King and Country put it in one of the monologues at the end of one of their songs. They do it the proof of your love, but the ending of it says, "If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's worth with power, revealing all his mysteries, making everything plain as day, and if I have faith to say to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but don't love, I'm nothing. If I give all I own to the poor, or even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, no matter what I do, no matter what I believe, no matter what I say, no matter what I believe, no matter what I do, I'm bankrupt without love."
Mm-hmm. Is that a song?
It's at the end of a song.
Just the end of a song.
It's a narration at the end of the song.
Yeah, it's almost like word for word, one of the chapters in
Corinthians.
So everything has to be done
with love. Absolutely. Yes.
It's in 13. Yeah, it is.
It
literally is like almost word for word, right?
Yeah.
I was like, that's in the Bible.
I was going to say.
I was reading. That's why I looked at you. I was like, I think this is in Corinthians.
That's why I just shook my head, because I was like, yeah, because me and her and my youth read it, right? You guys remember it?
He's over here just bragging about you guys. Read all about Sunday. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, no, we literally went over love.
Yeah.
So you guys, I would hope you guys remember it.
And if you notice too, it, in Mike's version, the way he says they're as the angels, or
for when
the angels that are in heaven,
nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven,
are as the angels. And so he's pointing out that the angels aren't married. There's not a husband and wife angel. They're not a family of angels. They're individual servants, and that's the way we're gonna be. You know, it's not like we're gonna be.
Any of you guys get sad when you think about that?
No.
Mike.
I was just curious. Mike thinks
do
that
you?
They're still gonna.
No.
Yes, like, you do.
Could
you,
he's like, bro.
About what?
He used to tell me that. He
about
used to be like.
not being married in heaven.
I was going to know from a different religion. I believe in a lot of whites.
Oh, okay.
Vikings?
Are you talking about the Vikings? I think it's going to be better because our relationships with one another won't have all the worldly aspects to them.
Right.
Yeah, because that's what
I believe too. No jealousy, no.
Right, we're gonna have that love for that person that we're already married to now, if we're married, right? And it's just gonna be abundant.
Perfect.
It's gonna
be
everywhere.
Right. It's gonna be that perfect love.
Yeah, you're gonna have it with everybody.
Good. Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I just saw.
No, I just yawned.
Oh.
He takes
you're not going to need to sleep.
We're
like,
sleep.
Man.
I want to sleep. So it's the place for that.
I think you will.
It's in
1 Corinthians
13. 1 Corinthians 13.
When you look at me, that's why I just, like, yeah.
I was just curious, because I don't know if they, like, took, like, certain phrases
and
made
it
their own.
It was
not.
Practically word for word.
Yeah.
Mike thinks there's cheeseburgers in heaven too.
I completely believe there's In-N-Out in heaven.
I hope we don't have to eat in heaven.
In-N-Out, okay.
I don't think we.
I don't think we have to, but I think we'll be able to.
Because like I'm gonna skip out all eating. I'll be like, I got things to do. I can't do this right now.
They said there'll be no hunger, no thirst.
And you'll make it past 30 hours.
I think it's gonna be. If we really want to eat, it's probably just gonna be for the taste of it. That's it.
Because we're not gonna have this physical body like we.
But this is all speculation.
And it's not. Yeah, this physical body requires food and water to go, you know.
Endless sushi.
We're not going to have
that. I
want
to see my grandparents.
We'll be in a resurrected body.
13.
Huh?
When Jesus resurrected, he ate fish and bread.
Oh, yeah, that is true.
So you might get your sushi.
Right. She's like, yes.
No, that's not gonna be in my heaven.
Yeah.
Maybe we got a nuclear power cell and we don't need recharging.
Yes, you are.
He's like, mechanics, let's go.
No nuclear power.
Why does Jesus refer to the 4:27 when he says he is not the God of the dead?
Ah, I was waiting for someone to ask something about that.
I don't understand. I understand that no one dies, but is it to tell them like he's like?
Who are the dead and who are the living?
I mean, we're the living.
So what do you mean by we're the living?
What I'm saying is it because they live, they don't believe in the resurrection that he's telling them that I'm not the God of you guys? Is what I'm trying to ask. Is he telling him, like, I'm not your God? Like, God is not your God because you don't believe in the living?
Well, if the person doesn't believe and is not saved, who's their God?
Yeah, but I don't think
he's saying it directly to him.
More so,
I don't think so.
Yeah, more so, he's not trying to tell them that I'm not your God. More so, he's telling them, look, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're alive. I'm not the God of the dead, but the God of the living.
They're
alive,
dead,
showing them that
they
have died physically.
Mm-hmm.
But they're alive, and that's what he's trying to get the point across, is that they're alive.
All right.
And showing them that there is a resurrection.
I think he answered to them because the resurrection, that is that statement,
right.
I am the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's telling them.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he kind of broke it down to them, the meaning.
Right.
Like, in other words, I am the resurrection.
You had a question,
and it's only in her.
No, I don't think that.
No?
It's referencing scripture from the Old Testament.
From Moses.
I am the God of
Abraham,
Isaac, and Jacob. That's what that's referencing.
Because think about it.
It's the same. I think it's the same thing that was called out.
I will get to you. Hold your thought.
That was called out. Tony, we're not programmed here, so you could just start talking, and then we'll let you speak.
What does that mean? Is that because I don't really understand. Because Catherine just said nobody dies, right? So does it?
So the God.
I can just answer it, but I don't want to answer. I want you guys to get to
it. I know,
it.
I want you guys to.
Because it's more awesome when you guys get the answer by yourself, because then you remember it. If someone just tells you it, it's like, oh yeah, I can forget that.
No, so like
we saw in the Transfiguration, right? Moses was there.
Yeah.
Jesus hadn't went to the cross and resurrected yet, but Moses was there and Elijah. Moses was dead. They buried him, right? His body. But it's showing that he's the God of the living.
Yeah.
And in him, there's life.
You're good.
That's why I asked the question, who are the dead and who are the living?
But are people in hell dead? Are like the demons dead?
Yes. Well, so in the way of what the scripture's saying, right?
So
the dead will actually die.
Yeah.
There will be a second death where all those things will die.
It hasn't happened.
It's where you burn for eternity type of thing. Or eternal punishment.
So this is, it's in Revelation. All the dead in Christ rise, right? When we die, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. When we die, we go with him. People die without him, they're in a sleep. They're in a sleep. They're not in heaven,
right.
They're not in hell, they're just asleep.
For all we know is they wake up on the judgment day and then they're all judged.
That's what Revelation says. After the 1,000 years of peace, the earth gave up its dead and the sea gave up its dead, and all them came up and came before the judgment seat to be judged. Hell has no occupants yet.
Not even the demons.
The demons are.
And that's what is the reference
well
of. Yeah.
Right now.
That's what it represents as the second death.
Mm-hmm.
It's the.
So they all let go.
Yeah. That's why in one of the scriptures it says, do not fear what man can do to you, fear what God can do to
right.
you. Right. You know, because.
There was a cool saying I heard Skip Isaac said the other day. He said, if you're born once, you die twice. But if you're born twice, you only die once.
Oh, the physical death?
The physical mm-hmm. death, yep.
The body is perishable, but the soul is imperishable.
But understand, too, even the people that are, you know, get sent to hell are never going to die.
Right.
They're going to be eternal in hell.
Oh, so
right. It's a spiritual
yes.
death.
That's why
because,
I said the soul
because
never
of the eternal
perishes.
Separation from God.
Right. That's exactly
it's a
what
spiritual
it is.
Spiritual death.
Yeah.
That's that death that Jesus faced on the cross that we don't have to.
You'll like if you can think about a life without with the absence of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what hell will be.
No love. No
and
kindness.
Nobody,
gentleness. None of that.
Nobody on this earth knows
pure
it.
Chaos. No
whether they're in Christ or not in Christ. Nobody knows what it's to be without the Spirit of God. God breathed life into every living being in this earth, right? When you accept Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit, and now it's more, but
become alive.
You become alive, but that Spirit of God has breathed life into everyone, and people don't know what it's like to be without God.
Do the people that are in the sleep, do they know they're like in a sleep?
I think they're just in a stasis.
I think it's
they
like a coma.
Well,
they fall asleep and wake up.
Yeah, it's all speculation.
It's all, that's what I was
yeah.
trying to say.
Yeah.
Yes, we don't know. We haven't died yet.
Right.
That's
how it
know.
Happens.
When Paul says, we don't know what it'll be like, but we know that we'll be like
that
him.
That person come back and tell us what it is like.
I haven't had that
good luck.
Happen yet.
They don't.
I
just say there's only a couple places where it says the dead raise.
Not yet.
They haven't truly died.
One of them is Jesus' time.
Their spirit was given a vision.
Yeah.
Hey, Daniel, what's happening?
What's
How's
up,
going,
my friend?
Daniel? I'm glad you guys asked that question because I was going to talk about that.
I could point you to where Revelation talks about.
Do you understand now, Catherine?
Yes.
It makes more sense.
All the questions have been answered.
It's more of like Jesus is just trying to correct them here. What they think of what the scripture is,
but
he's trying to show them like, hey, you're in error here.
Do they see him as Messiah?
No.
But
it says it right in the
beginning.
Yeah,
the Sadducees who do not say there is a resurrection.
But they say teach you to
know. Yeah, because he spoke.
Oh,
he spoke with an authority of the law.
But they don't. They accept they don't think like that.
Some Jews still to this day see him as like just a man or a prophet of some sort. They don't see him as the Messiah.
Oh, because they're waiting for the dead?
Yeah, he's waiting for Jesus. They're waiting
some
for Jesus technically.
In Jerusalem still.
And that's what the whole like book of Revelation is about.
They're waiting,
and
their
recalling
mind, it was
those
the
people.
First time they're thinking of
they're like
that
thinking
they're
of a king
for.
Of Israel. Like
right.
David, how he was a king.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is a king, but he's not that type.
Yeah, he's not a king of the world. He's a king of the universe.
Oh, because they wanted someone of status.
There is a king of this world.
Mm-hmm.
Like worldly status?
Yeah, because they were victims of Rome. Like, they were under their thumb. They
yeah.
had to obey them. They weren't their own people.
They were oppressed by Rome.
They thought Jesus was going to
like how most cultures
dead.
Were back then.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Israel couldn't even put people to death because Rome had to do it. Rome was the authority.
Another historical aspect of it.
Right. Revelation 20, starting at verse 11. Only got four verses, five verses. This is after the millennial reign. So.
Revelation
11. Oh, this is the good part.
So this is after the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. And then 2011. Then it says, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was adjudged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. That's the second death.
Somebody's having fun out there.
Oh, they having fun? I thought it was like activism or something like that.
I thought it was a protest in front of the church.
That's what I was saying. Activism.
Oh, same thing, yeah.
I'm just one of those shut the mouths up that are using it's penetrating through the door.
Oh. Correct. Anyway, that's what I just wanted to point out because we were just talking about, and this is where it's brought up. The dead are the earth gave up the dead, and the sea gave up the dead. Hades, that's a waiting place. It's not hell, because it says.
Hades
death and Hades now? Were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is hell.
Hades is
it's like a holding
place. Yeah.
And one of the parables
it's like a holding cell before you go to jail.
Hercules the way they
yeah, cartoon kind of,
Hercules.
What? Oh yeah, Hercules.
I could see that when he was like four. I enjoyed it twice as much as he did.
What?
Crazy. I was like, I love this.
Yeah, I think the word hell actually comes from a description of a place where they would throw their trash and their feces, and it was always on fire.
And where did they get these names?
From the place that it was called, and then when it translated over as hell, but it was just a place that at the time... it was just a place at the time, and so he was just giving a description of what that place is like, because it was always on fire. It never went out.
Like burn the trash?
Yeah, it was to burn the trash, and you throw your feces there. You throw anything that you didn't want in this mountain, a pile.
Isn't there a place like that in Pennsylvania or something where it constantly burns from methane gas that's coming out?
Oh, yeah.
The ground.
Yeah.
It's
a
for
constant
60 burning.
Years.
Yeah. I think it came from the Greek.
Creepy stuff.
I don't know. I watch a lot of... National Geographic, so, you know.
But yeah, that's the type of place that he's talking about.
Yeah, it'll burn forever, probably.
Yeah, and that's just what we understand from a worldly aspect of what we think it is like, right?
Oh,
But it's probably more because we're constricted teenagers. By the knowledge of the world. Should invite him to a game night.
I was thinking about that.
What?
We need to make
the
a game
Smash
night.
Smash Bros. Tournament or something.
And what day? One? What day? I'll go out there and invite him. What day?
I don't know.
You got Cyrus' attention.
What day? I'll invite every single one of them.
I actually have someone who would love to come. We have a
volleyball. It's for the kids, though.
Yeah. Not for us.
We're just
for the
hosting.
Kids.
Yeah. We're just hosting.
Wait, we can't play?
I mean, we
they want to get their butt kicked, or we get our butt kicked, then sure.
I'm trying to see how good they are.
Some kids nowadays, my friend.
I play beach volleyball.
You're like, show no mercy. Boom, in your face.
I'm never the one who smashes the bell. I'm always the one playing, like, saving.
That'd be so sick.
It's not my ministry.
I know.
It's yours.
I know. What day should we do it? Which day should we do it? I don't have my co-worker here. Or my co-helper.
Co-worker.
I'm just saying the wrong thing. Same difference, you know?
But yeah, I believe that's his whole point. To show him that that there is a resurrection, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. He's just trying to correct them in the way of understanding of how they teach the law.
Mm-hmm.
And how they see the scriptures. Like,
yeah.
When they read it, they're like, well, he's pointed out, he says, don't you see that it says, I am the God of these people, not I was,
yeah.
but I used to be. These people are still alive.
Yeah.
And he's still their God, you know what
I mean?
Yeah.
That's why he calls himself. What's your name? I am.
And he's
giving
him hope.
I am sent you.
He's giving him hope, too, of the resurrection.
Yeah.
And he references back to the scripture. He's not just saying it. He's referencing back to when the burning bush called out to Moses,
mm-hmm.
because those were the words that were said to him. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Are the Sadducees Jews?
Yes. So they understand the Old Testament. So that's how Jesus was trying to get back, like, hey, you need to see it from the living side, not the dead side.
Do you see faith in there yet?
Yeah.
Where?
From Jesus. Like, trying to give them faith. Trying to...
Mm.
That.
But did they turn?
Who knows?
We don't
Maybe.
Know.
I would like to think that anyone mentioned in here has corrected their errors,
right.
but, you know, that's just me and the hopeful me of... You know.
Hopefully you of
2024. Yeah. Check it out. Didn't he say, I am the resurrection?
Mm-hmm. But who wrote this book?
John Mark or something like that.
Yeah, it was like John Mark. I think he was a kid when Jesus was doing his ministry. And he was brought along the way the whole time or something like that.
He witnessed this type of stuff.
Like, write these books? Do they like write it down?
Some of them did. Other ones, they heard it from someone else and got the stories put together and then created it.
Yeah, like that's what the book of Luke is. Luke
mm-hmm.
was a physician, and he was trying to figure out what the truth was because he was going along with Paul. And what he did is take eyewitness accounts and then put them all together.
Mm-hmm.
But Matthew actually was there. That is the disciple Matthew who wrote that. And I think John as well, right?
Right, where is that?
Yeah,
because
he's the disciple.
John. That's in John.
Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, you're right. The disciple whom Jesus loved. Yep.
But I think he is pointing out his point now faith in here because by saying I am the God of Abraham, he's showing that that you can have hope. You can have hope in me and they are alive.
Yeah. Beautiful.
You get ready for something?
11:25.
John 11:25.
John 11:25.
Leah said,
John.
Please, Mike, she wants you to read it.
You want me to read it? I'll read it.
John 11:25?
Yeah.
It's
very simple.
John
11:25.
One verse.
All things should be simple.
One verse. Yeah.
And if they aren't, you're overthinking.
That's how I have to get back
wrong.
To the basic. Because like, oh, I'm making this too complicated. Let me go backwards.
See, it's blue orange.
Yeah. All right.
Mine's red.
Mine's red. This is talking to Martha about was it Lazarus who died, right?
Yeah.
And in 25 it says, Jesus saying to her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me, he shall never die. Believe thou this? Do you believe this?
Do you believe this? Do you have faith in this? Do you have hope in this?
Is how people that are alive could be alive and never die.
And there's certainly love in it. God so loved the world.
Yeah, if you don't see the love, then you're seeing the scriptures the way that we're not intended for us to see.
Then you're looking at it like this.
You're looking at it like the Sadducees just did, right? Yeah. They saw it through that lens instead of the lens.
That's what I'm saying. You're looking at it like this.
And what was the fruit? No hope. Hey, there is no resurrection. There's nothing after this. So what does it matter?
I think the Sadducees actually didn't believe in the prophets either. I think they just believed in the Torah. So I think it was the Sadducees, right? I could be wrong, but one of the groups,
or the Herodians,
of the teachers of the law, one of the groups didn't believe anything happened after the Torah.
Yeah, some of them even today have taken up a lot of the Isaiah prophets and the prophecies and stuff. So you can't really point to those prophecies because they're not really part of their book, which is sad. Because even in Jesus' day, he pulled out the scroll of Isaiah and told them.
Yeah. You guys ready to move on, or?
Yeah.
We got time.
All right, cool.
I got time.
We're actually flying today.
All right. Here we go. Verse 28. You guys there?
Wait. Okay, now we're good. Hey, this one's in Matthew, too. It's up there.
Sing that Beatles song, right?
I've got to go with Beatles because there's... Yeah. Memorize. Yeah, these are the greatest commandments.
All right, everyone there? All right, here we go. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer. He asked them, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Well said, teacher. The man replied, you are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Dang, so blah, bro.
You're this close. He told him, you're this
close. And then no one dared to ask him any more questions. What are you going to get from there? Really? What do you see as scary?
The scary part is the...
You're that close.
You're still not there. I want to be there. Right. I don't want at the end of my day for him to say...
So what do you think was... What do you think was keeping them from...
It's because his heart was off still.
Yeah, exactly. Where do you think the why he wasn't just quite there yet?
Didn't believe in the resurrection.
Depending on what the scribes taught and what their ideology was and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I would say that it's just we've been talking about that human understanding, right? Like knowing how you're supposed to treat people or how you're supposed to give yourself to God, but at the end of the day, God reads your heart. So where is it at really when you're not believing, when Jesus is standing literally right in front of you?
Yeah.
He's telling he can't catch Jesus not saying the truth, but he's not believing that Jesus is the truth.
There you go.
Is the Christ, so.
That's what I believe was that him, right? he was holding him back, was that he didn't believe.
Right, but he still wasn't there.
Yeah. That's why he said he's not that far off. That's but true. It's simple for the people who believe, right? Like, we're already there. We're there. Woohoo! You know, we believe in the Messiah, right? Now we just live in accordance, though.
That was such a sobering moment for Jesus to tell me that. Like, my next question would have been, where am I getting it wrong?
What am I doing?
Well, so, like, most likely he probably didn't think of that, you know, because his heart wasn't in the same spot where your heart's at.
Yeah.
The fact that you say that, or like, well, where am I off at, is the fact that your heart's probably in the right spot to where he probably wouldn't have said that to you because you're willing to go, oh, I think I'm wrong in my understanding. Where am I off at? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Because you already believe that he is the Messiah,
mm-hmm.
right? And here, he's just asking them questions because they're trying to catch him up on some word so they can hang him.
Well, yeah, because he thought, well, yeah, he's smart. Let me ask him, you know?
Yeah.
He's saying kind of along the lines of truth. But the way he answered him, like, bravo, you said the truth. There only is one God.
Yeah.
I'm like... I don't know. That's the way I read it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it does kind of seem that way, but at the same point as if you read at the very beginning, he said, noticing Jesus had given them a good answer.
Mm-hmm.
Then he asked him, he's like, okay, let me test how good this man really is at
mm-hmm.
his knowledge, and then asked him the question, which is kind of funny to
you
me.
You know where he's quoting that from?
What?
Dude.
Wait.
Dude.
Deuteronomy.
Dude, Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy.
6. Chapter 6. I think a couple first verses.
4.
Yeah, 6.
6:4.
Oh, 6:4?
Mm-hmm. And that's the Shema. That's what...
that's what you're supposed to teach your children.
Mm-hmm. That's what they're taught at an early
age. She's like, why am I not
taught? You
can
look it up and you can find videos of it.
We'll go over it.
It's
time.
It's Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. And that's the Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one.
Yeah,
6:4 and 5 of Deuteronomy.
Yeah, Deuteronomy 6:4.
Okay.
There's also the scripture Jesus uses when he's tempted of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
When the devil tells him to
worship
him.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And Jesus tells him he worships no other God but one.
Did the devil, come and what form did the devil come?
He came before the Lord. He came before Jesus.
In what form?
The Lord.
I think his physical form.
I would think so, too.
So he just, like...
What happened to the serpent?
He lost his arms and legs.
His head gets crushed. But it doesn't happen until the end.
So he tried. Was that where he tried to give Jesus like the said like you can have all this land?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is already what I created.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
And that's when he tells him you can have all of this. You bow down and worship me. And that's what he said.
Yeah. Then
all
he said,
the kingdom
worship
the
no other God.
Yeah.
For there is only one true God. Type of thing.
Yeah. There was an if. You can't have all this if.
For it was given to me, but if you bow down and worship me.
If, yeah.
And if it wasn't his, Jesus would have corrected that too.
Well, he says it's mine to give to whoever I want. That's
mm-hmm.
what the devil says.
Yeah.
The kingdom's word.
He's the kingdom of this earth. The kingdom of this world.
He lies to an extent.
Right.
It's the truth.
Isn't that what most of his lies were? They were like... false truths.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's why I'm saying he lies to an extent. He twists the truth.
Like even the original sin, right?
Right. And that's a.
He's
that's
like, you won't surely
thing.
Die.
Right.
You know, that's like a that's
it's
that's
a false what, truth.
It was a false truth. You know, like you weren't gonna die right then and there, but yeah, you would eventually die.
Yeah. And that's what we see, like the Sanhedrin there were, or the Sadducees. They were reading, but they were getting a false truth from it. You know, and that's what the enemy does. You're going to hear it. You need to know. Just because you hear a word from someone doesn't mean you need to take it. You need to test the spirit. And John tells us to test the spirit. You need to be in aligned with the spirit.
You need to know what.
Yeah.
You need to know your scriptures to know if it's true or false.
Yeah.
Because that's how the enemy works. It's right.
Mm-hmm.
God's word's right, and then his is almost right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I always thought was funny, because everything that Jesus battles back with, you could actually read in Deuteronomy. And it's actually quite funny, because all of it's almost right next to each other in the same book too. Mm-hmm. And when you're reading it, it's just so hilarious when you think about it, because he's like, oh yeah, let me twist the word just slightly mm-hmm. off of the exact same thing you know. Mm-hmm. It's blatant, because everything that the enemy tempted Jesus with is what he tempts us on a daily basis. He tempts you in the flesh.
Don't you think Jesus used like a lot of the first five books, because that's all that the Pharisees and the Sadducees had? Mm-hmm. So he's throwing back at them, like, you guys are supposed to know this.
Yeah. It was like a
that's testing how he corrected their knowledge
with what they knew.
Every time he corrects them, it's back to the basics of the Torah, pretty much. Because every time he brings it back.
And there's not a fear. There shouldn't be a fear in our lives of misunderstanding the word. If we spend the time in it, and we spend the time with Christ, seeking him. Because Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. You're going to know. If you're spending time with him, you're going to know. It's going to go against your spirit when it's wrong. You're going to know. You're going to make me do that.
Sorry.
I'm just kidding.
Tried to cover it.
But yeah, it's beautiful how Jesus said that. My sheep know my voice.
Oh, Jesus, you know, I found it.
And it's being in tune with him and in tune with his spirit. A person who's asked Jesus into their heart, they know. You know when something's not right. And you can't go back into the world and have the same satisfaction from it, because it just brings turmoil in your life, because the spirit's kind of tugging at you. Not kind of, he is. But you can also get so far that you don't hear the spirit anymore. You can quench the spirit. You can get numb to it. That's what society does to us now. They bombard us with so much crap on the TV, the foul words and stuff. We get so inundated by it that we don't even hear it or notice it. You know, it's sad. It's desensitizing us to the things that are wrong. And that's the enemy's ploy. Put so much of it in your face so that you don't even recognize it anymore, that it's not shocking to you anymore. And now things that 20, 30 years ago were, now it's like common. It's everywhere in your face and you don't think nothing about it. And it's a sad place to be in when you're desensitized to those things. But you stay in the spirit. And God will alert you to this. Look, you've been doing this so long and you don't even realize you're doing it, but you need to work on this. You know, he convicts your heart. And like I say, my convictions aren't your convictions, aren't your convictions. They will eventually all be the same convictions as we grow in him and come to that point. But we're all at different levels. We're all at different places, you know.
You mean grow?
Yep. Yeah,
that's what he's talking about, is the what you always talk about is the removing of the weeds and stuff like that in your life. Mm-hmm. That's what he's getting at. Is God, when you're convicted, it's God showing you that that weed is there, that problem is there, mm-hmm. so that you can correct it.
So it's just showing you, but also for us to make correction.
Yeah.
Well, we can't do it by ourselves either. And that's where it goes. Yeah. Is you have. The correction is so that we can give it to the Lord.
I'm going to illustrate it now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some people choose not to have cable. Why? Because there's so much
trash?
Yes, mm-hmm. That's the word I was talking about.
Garbage?
She was trying to think of the right word.
Is that something, okay, the spirit, okay, I'm not going to do that because there's so much trash, mm-hmm. too much stuff, commercial stuff, like you're like,
yes, thank you. Yes.
So it's is that something like, okay, we're in the spirit, but don't we also supposed to be like, no, don't do that. We don't need cable.
That's where I was at with my convictions aren't your convictions, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when God places it on your heart, look, I used this example before. We used to watch The Walking Dead when it first came out. As a family, we'd all get it and we'd all sit down every time it come on, you know, and we loved it. We all watched it. And then it started,
it was probably foul off the get-go, but you didn't notice it so bad. But, like, just towards the end of when we stopped watching it, it got so foul and so nasty and just so...
Made you feel funny, right?
Started feeling really icky about it. And I sat, we all talked as a family. We're like, look, I feel convicted by this. Do you guys? And as a family, we all decided that we're not going to watch this anymore. We're not going to listen to this. Would we speak this way? I mean, I've told other family members, don't talk to my kids that way. But yet we're letting this into our house through our TV, you know? And so that's where we were at with it. And so, you know, it's God's timing, you know, and he knows when we're ready for it, and then he'll convict us of it. But you'll see it, you'll hear it, and then definitely. But you got to make the effort.
Make the effort, yeah. It's like a two-way.
Yeah.
I help you, you help me. Yeah. Like that, huh?
I said before, friendship. Like God, you need this. You need a hole dug. God will hand you a shovel. You know, he doesn't dig it
I like
for
that.
You.
Yeah.
Says here, you know, here's all the tools
you
need.
Shovel.
You have to
make the effort, because he's not going to make us.
No.
He's not going to make us. If he makes us, then
where's the free will?
Yeah, where's the free will? Where's the love in that? You know, how do we show God we truly love him? By being given a choice and making that choice that we want to spend eternity with him. He wants those who want to be there to be there. His desires that the whole world, he loves his creation. But he only wants those that want to be there. He's not going to force people to be there.
No,
sometimes I wish there wasn't free will, because I'd be like...
We're still talking about the...
wouldn't it be easier?
Knowledge?
Okay, take this
the way that things are seen, or did we move on from that?
Aren't we have free will. He was reading.
Oh.
He was trying to find something.
Yeah, I don't know if we moved on from what we were originally talking about. What were we just talking about?
I was talking about finding the knowledge from God.
Oh, okay. Then it goes along with this.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this is a beautiful letter if you guys ever get the chance to it. But this was written a long time ago.
Like right after Paul's era.
Yeah, like probably like a couple centuries after Paul. But it goes with the knowledge that we're talking about, right? That we have to get our knowledge from God, not from people. And so it was letter. This was written. It's called the Letter to Diognetus. This was one of the
late first century writings.
Yeah, he was apprenticed. He was a disciple of the Lord as an apprentice of one of the early apostles.
The thought is that it's Paul that he was apprenticed to.
It could be any of the apostles, because
yeah.
At first he says something along the lines that he went from being apostle, being under the apostles, to an apostle of the Gentiles.
Okay.
So it says, I'm just going to start at the beginning of the chapter because it talks about it the whole way. But it's talking about where we get our knowledge from, not from the world, but from God. It says, when you have read these truths and listen attentively to them, you will know what God bestows on those who love him as they should, who become a paradise of delight, raising up in themselves a flourishing tree bearing all kinds of fruit, who are adorned with various fruits. For in this garden, a tree of knowledge and a tree of life have been planted, but it is not the tree of knowledge that kills. On the contrary, a disobedience kills. For it is not without significance that the scriptures record that God in the beginning planted a tree of knowledge and a tree of life in the midst of paradise. Therefore, revealing that life is through knowledge, because our first parents did not use it purely. They were left naked by the deceit of the serpent. For there is neither life without knowledge, nor sound knowledge without true life. Therefore, each tree stands planted near each other. Discerning the significance of this, the apostle blamed knowledge exercised apart from the truth of the commandment that leads to life, and said, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. For anyone who claims to know anything without the true knowledge is confirmed by life knowing nothing. not loving life, that person is deceived by the serpent. But the one who reverently has gained knowledge and seeks life and plants in hope, anticipating fruit. Let your heart be knowledge, and your life be, and your life the true teaching, fully comprehended. If this is a tree, if this is the tree you cultivate, and whose fruit you pick, then you will always be harvesting the things that God desires, things that the serpent cannot touch, and deceit cannot infect. Nor is Eve corrupted; instead, a virgin is trusted. Furthermore, salvation is made known, and the apostles are instructed, and the Passover of the Lord goes forward. Thing that's so bomb. And the congregations are gathered together, and all things are arranged in order, that the word rejoices in the teaching of the saints, the word through whom the Father is glorified. To him be glory forever. Amen. Right? Talking about how what we were hitting on, right, is that if we think that we know something from the word, and it's only like a head knowledge, then we're deceived. But if we have gotten the, if we have gone to the Lord and the Lord has shared with us what's in the scripture, then we plant a tree and expecting fruit, right? Where we don't just walk around in hopelessness. We get excited when we read the Lord. We can't wait to share it with somebody else. That's the difference, right? And that's what these Sadducees didn't have. They just read the scriptures to the T and tried to comprehend through their own worldly knowledge, right, of what the world is constricted to, instead of placing their faith in the Lord, which is more than this world, right? Showing the power that God actually has. I know that was a mouthful, but hopefully it's
probably more variables.
Can you lift your book up though? Book cover?
Mm-hmm. I haven't read this whole thing because I don't think all these letters in here are good to read. I think some of them are good.
Others
are bad. So it just depends on the letter. You really have to read that book with the Spirit. You can't just believe whatever is read in there. So
yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of theories.
Yeah, there's a lot of like weird translating in there, and it's hard to.
I just heard of one this week too. Letters of Nicodemus, a letter of Nicodemus who was there talking about how they were defending Jesus at the trial. But yet, you know, the Pharisees brought up the crowd into a roar, you know, against him. But I was telling them, I go, no matter who was defending him, this was going to happen.
Yeah,
because he submitted himself to it, and this is the way it had to happen. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there, and asking me if it's true or not. And I said, I don't know. I mean, it could very well be true. Nicodemus was a scholar. He was a priest. You know, he was in that group. But yet he came to Jesus at night. And so I'm sure there's things he probably wrote down. Does it survive? Is it there? I don't know. But here's what I maintain. Yeah, there's a lot of other stuff, but I believe this has everything we need. There's more stuff. There's more. I mean, God gave us a desire to expand our knowledge, right? And so in that, you know, we seek a lot of stuff, but it's important to seek Christ, and that's what they were getting at in that letter too.
Yeah.
To seek Christ for the knowledge and the wisdom, you know. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and in all your ways acknowledge him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. You
know, where is it at? Where is it at?
3, 5, 6.
Oh, you weren't supposed to tell her. She memorized it.
She's supposed to memorize it.
She was lipping it as
another,
I was saying.
Can I get another verse? No.
We did not, but you will.
She's like, I don't want to do this no more.
just trying to get this Mexican card without work.
It doesn't work like that. You gotta work for it so that you can get it.
Prize the car, you gotta have such a reality check the first day you come to work.
I didn't say that.
No, that's what
you said. Laura looked at me and I was like, I did not say that.
She doesn't want to work for anything.
I'm not her parent.
And she
guardian.
I get it, but I deal with the same with my kids and the generations. They want the microwave family, the career, bing.
Mm-hmm. Without
everything
working.
Fast, without not having to sleep.
It takes work.
It doesn't work like that.
Well, it doesn't work like that.
And it's sad because the very government... Great country we live in is trying to teach us. Oh, you can have this, you can have that. I mean, it's sad. I have a friend at work who's strove and he's paid like $30,000 a year to put his kids through college, and you know, and then to see people get their debt forgiven, it's like, wait a minute, you know, it's
I'm upset.
I'm not talking bad about one way or another. I just think it's sad in society when things are handed to you and because it doesn't mean the same. Mm-hmm. I got that truck with Jordan and I had Jordan rip the engine out and put it back together, and I mean, we worked on it together, and now this is something he's going to take care of. It where if it was just handed to him, you
go
melt the tires
it.
Off it and wrap it around a pole, and then
you don't
get
appreciate
one,
stuff if
you
don't have to work for
right,
it.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I still wish that I had tires that were bigger.
And look, it's the same. It's the same.
That was a joke towards Jacob.
Oh, what happened?
He got rid of his Ranger and he had bigger tires on it.
Oh. It's the same way in the scriptures, though, right?
Yeah, remember?
If God just dumped all this knowledge in our head, would we be living it? Would we appreciate it? We'd probably lose it because we didn't work for it. You gotta. And the working for it is just to take the time, devote the time to seeking him, devote the time to allow him, be quiet and allow him to speak to you.
Yeah, where would all those golden nuggets that Matt said would go if we were just given it at the beginning? We would never have that appreciation for some of the things that the Lord has shared with us, right? There's like an appreciation that when we spend time with the Lord and we give our time to the Lord and he shares something with us, we have that appreciation for him.
Mm-hmm. You know, something
there's a greater respect for that knowledge.
Yeah, and he does it when we're going through something too, and uses those experiences to bring out his word. So he's allowing us to live the word, right? We go through something and then it comes alive with the answer. It's beautiful if you just let God and trust God. We all fall short. I fall so short.
Yeah, me too, dude.
So, what I was going to say was...
11 minutes?
I was going
get
to
your prayers
say
in
that
11
first.
Minutes. Get
before
your
I got interrupted. But okay. Yesterday, before we left the study, or before I left the study, and went to In-N-Out, because they have that little gift thing. But anyway, there was a kid who asked, his name's Eric, and he asked a simple question. To me and the pastor, he's like, do you guys fear the Lord? Because he's a new believer and he's been seeking. And so I loved the question, though, because it showed his growth. Because at first he didn't know really anything about the Bible. He just started coming because he was invited and started loving it and started digging hard into the Bible. And so when he asked the question, I told him, yes, but do you know what it means? Because the fear that it talks about in the New Testament isn't the fear that the Israelites had in the Old Testament. It should be the similar fear, but it's different as well. The fear is reverence, knowing who God is, knowing the power he has, and knowing everything that he's about, mm-hmm. and desiring to seek him in that way.
because of the power he has. Mm-hmm. Like Laura always says, she has the fear of knowing that she could be sent to hell without him. That's a fear of the Lord. And having that fear is what every Christian should have, is the power, knowing who God is, desiring a deeper connection, because that is exactly who God is.
Right.
And as we're saying this, we brought up multiple chapters, multiple verses for the kid to read. And I left him with two because I was like, look, you're going to be overwhelmed if you don't. So I had him, I'm having him read the book of Exodus and Isaiah 6, where it actually talks about Isaiah having that fear, because that's the fear he had that we should have. Lord, I am nothing. I am a person who is unclean, not worthy to be before you.
I'm a dead man.
Exactly. I'm a dead man. Woe is me. And all these different things. And as I'm telling him this, like, you could just see it on his face. He's like, whoa. And he sits there, grabs his phone out, and starts writing all the areas to read down. But the whole thing is the journey is yours. Mm-hmm. I told him that it's not just going to be a day journey. It's not going to be a week journey or a month journey. It's a lifetime. Once you give your life to the Lord, it becomes a lifetime journey with the Lord. There's going to be ups and downs and lefts and rights. And
yeah, how else are you supposed to be humble?
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. If you think you know it all, then you're in the wrong spot.
Exactly. And so the whole thing is make sure you spend the time with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Make sure you seek him, and seek him with you, the way you are, not the way someone put on top of you, not the way someone wants you to think. Do it with yourself. Don't do it in a religion standpoint. Don't do it in all these different things. Do it in one mindset that you're going to seek the Lord because he's the Lord and because you desire for him to be in your life.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's it in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. Is seek the Lord while he may be found. I think it says that in Isaiah 55 as well.
I like fear is not has nothing to do with being afraid. It's more of like with your parents, you have it's a reverent fear of you look up to them and you don't want to be displeasing to them, and that's,
you don't want to disappoint them.
Right, and that's the way. That's
my dad's gonna kill me.
Fear of God. Yeah.
Every day my thoughts.
Every day your thoughts?
Reminds me of a stupid.
Wow, are you ruthless?
I hope not.
His thumb is like this.
He didn't want my mom wanted to hold my hand today. Because
she skips along
you.
And I don't want to skip with her.
Woo, let's go!
Yeah, and look at you, don't touch me.
Bomb. Dang it, I knew that was going to eat me alive.
Right after the words came out of your mouth, huh? You're like, oh, I'm never going to hear the end of this one.
Tony likes to, like, take me out of context.
No,
like,
that's literally what we did.
Yeah, she's like a Sadducee. She's waiting for when I stop. No. For when I mess up.
I knew that. Ooh, don't touch me.
What about all those good times, Tony?
What about the times he took you to Mountain High? Or not Mountain High,
Matt,
sorry.
Has parenting counseling.
I'm
excited
for that
it's
one.
At the
I thought originally it was supposed to be on Thursdays, but he hasn't been here because he's busy. So I think it's been moved to Wednesdays at Jacob's house.
I'm supporting that one.
I'm supporting it. But you know, the counseling goes both ways.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't want to talk to you. It's okay, you'll see me someday.
So on the last note, why do you think when asked this question he quoted Deuteronomy instead of the Ten Commandments?
But the Ten Commandments were also from
Moses.
Like,
yeah.
He already knew
it. Why do you think he quoted that instead of the something from the Ten Commandments?
Because they can misconstrue that, too. He was making it pure and simple. Love God and love your neighbor. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I'm talking about, yeah, like what he quoted and why not.
Did Jesus cruel?
Because they asked the commandments, right?
Mm-hmm. What is the greatest one, right?
Yeah, which is the greatest commandment, right? Why do you think he quoted Deuteronomy instead of like a commandment?
Because he already knew what the commandment said.
Because it starts with God first, not just love thy neighbor.
Love God with
different sizes.
Love God, love your neighbor, love she loves yourself.
What do you think, man? Yeah, you do. You know. Why do you?
Right.
So.
Ten commandments still in the Torah.
I want to know the answer. So, you want to know the answer, though?
Yeah, the Ten Commandments are still in the Torah, but when they came to him, when they said which is the greatest commandment, right? So, when you think of that. You think of, okay, well, there was the Ten Commandments given, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why didn't he quote anything from...
So you
from...
have 10 choices.
Why didn't he?
Yeah, why didn't he quote...
Well, that's what question. I was... I just... Well, I told you what I thought.
For, like, misconstruing it, right?
Well,
is what
yeah,
you're saying?
Like they were just literally going to take each one, but like Jesus said, if you lust at a woman, you've committed adultery.
Right.
If you've gotten angry with your brother,
you've committed murder.
Yeah, but they're taking it literally, so he just pure and simple and summed it up in a way where they couldn't.
He condensed it.
He condensed the commandments.
So why did he condense it?
I took it, love your God by your heart, because he is the resurrection. He is life. And that's the I don't know, I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I took it. Love your God first.
Maybe because of
and the second love? No, he's saying why.
What do you got?
Because of how descriptive it gets. It's not just, you know, love God, you know, but it's telling you in each and every way, your mind, your soul, your strength, your heart, you know, and it's the same thing with your neighbor.
Do you know why that's the greatest, though?
It's about love, right?
It fulfills all 10.
Yeah.
All 10 of those commandments get fulfilled.
I thought we said that in the beginning. Didn't we say that?
No, I'm sorry.
Did we say that?
No,
I'm sorry.
I thought that's what
I
said.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He just wanted to hear everybody say it.
Just kidding. I mean...
The commandments are...
I am God.
Because
in the beginning, Exodus and all those,
I am.
So to me, it's like, him first.
No, but I get what you're saying, but yeah.
I thought you said something like, so it doesn't get twisted, is from what I took from what you originally said.
Yeah, no, but I meant, okay, well, maybe I didn't say
right,
but I meant,
yeah,
maybe
no, that's
I didn't
okay.
get to finish.
Me yeah,
finish.
You could have been that.
It's pretty simple, like the Ten Commandments can be summed up in two groups. The first four have to do with our relationship with God. The first four are all directed at God, and the last six are directed at how we treat others. And so he summed it all, boom, all up in one.
Yeah.
Love the Lord.
What he quoted was something that fulfilled it all, right? If you just focused on that one commandment, you would fulfill every 10.
Yeah.
If you were perfect, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's why when Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, I did not come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill it.
Yeah.
Right? And he came to fulfill it by loving God and loving us, right?
We've said this before. I know this. I know we've said this before.
I'm sorry.
I thought you were trying something harder.
No, I was just trying to see. Like, see.
You were trying to trick us.
It was
like
a reveal.
No, I was just trying to see if, like...
Yeah. No, I know it was
like
floating around somebody
said
like,
it was short end, and then there was like,
you
know, it was all 10, and I was like, oh. Yeah.
You were like,
hell
no, and then I was like,
okay. What you got, Daniel?
I had to be more.
You're like,
than
you
seem
like you're chomping
at
the bit
wanting
to say it.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I was just trying to see if, like, if you guys knew why he quoted that one.
Just kidding.
But yeah, and that's what we have. Up there, that's Matthew 22:37-40. That's the same. It's the same scripture.
Right here it says to love his neighbor as himself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. So you know that you don't have that. It's 34.
Yeah, I have it. That's the King James version.
It says that to love with all your heart, with all understanding. It says right. It's more than all the whole burnt offerings.
to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love the neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings.
Oh, yeah, what the Pharisee said, or the Sadducee said, or the teacher of the law, or whatever.
Yeah, the guy who answered him.
Yeah.
And that's what got him the good answer. Like, hey,
right, that
part.
Was the...
Because you get what Jacob is saying, that all these laws are all have to deal with how you love God and people. Mm-hmm. Anything else is some type of religion that you like, it could become like a, what do you call it? Something you do every day.
Yeah, a routine.
And for a lot of people, it was.
And when it is a routine, it's like an autopilot. Your heart's not really in there. Right. You're just like, oh, I got to get through this real quick so I can do the things I want to do, right?
Yes, because you know what? I was thinking about that. I was reading my Bible, and before I knew it, I was reading it. I already knew the scripture and everything, and then I didn't remember reading it because I was like on autopilot, and I was like, I gotta stop and go back and read it.
So many times
I need to
slow down.
No, because I have the same routine.
That's
do
the
this,
truth,
do that, go this, you know.
Oh, I know this. I remember this one. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I remember
the Lord
what he
God,
taught me.
Yeah,
about.
I remember
and
this.
I'm trying to do that in my life, like make sure when I leave that I close my door because I don't want my mother-in-law's dog to go inside my room, so I sit there and purposely remember, because I do it automatically now, but now I'm trying to train my brain to remember
doing it. Yeah.
So you don't have to walk back 50 times.
Right, but it's also making me do that in the Word, too, though.
Yeah. And that's what happens with routine, is we become that autopilot, you know, and then you're like, oh, did I close the door? I can't remember.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, finish that.
I'm a robot.
Oh, no.
Did I turn off the stove?
That's what we do, is we become a robot. Turn
yourselves an OCD. That's what they're going to need.
Roger says they moved his doctor appointment to 1:00, 1 p.m. on the 20th, and he still needs a ride.
1:00 on the 20th?
1:00 on the 20th, which I think is a Wednesday.
6 days.
I have the IHP bits due that day. I'll be busy.
I'll be at work. And then,
I don't have a car.
What?
What
time? Oh no.
When is your job lock at?
The big bits due that day.
Better get it done the day before.
I hope.
Those take a long time, bids. You have to plan everything.
A boy can dream.
Dream hard.
But a man can do. Oh.
A godly
good
man
joke.
Can make it happen.
Were you singing?
No, I was getting my pitch. Freaky stuff next to me.
She's like, you're gonna put attention to me, and I don't want that.
It's like, settle down right there.
Oh,
oh
my God.
See, Tony, you got it easy.
I have
a no?
You don't even know.
You don't even know.
Oh, a phone?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Oh.
I know. What do you mean? Please expand on that.
That, like, you have a lot of fun with me.
I won't say that.
Yeah.
You can live at my house.
That's because you don't know.
Okay, like, I have fun, but it's you bullying me.
That's fine.
Watch out, Sloan. See what you're going to get when you get older.
We were at the cheer banquet the other day,
yes.
And I was talking to one of the parents.
Just...
And he was like, oh, is that your daughter? I was like, oh, yeah, it's my exchange daughter. She's from Germany. But my real daughter's like a week old. And he's like, oh, congratulations, man. I was like, yeah, this is like looking into the future. Like, I could probably be doing this in 16 years.
Yes, you will.
You're going to be there again? The same guy's going to be there? And you're going to be like,
later.
Trippy.
I remember you.
All right, prayer quest.
Let's see if that actually happens. That'd be cool.
No, that dude.
It was like a time machine.
I had already a 16-year-old daughter.
She's
gonna have one again.
Yeah, I know.
I was waiting for the pop.
Yeah, she's not gonna do cheer.
I didn't say that.
So it's not gonna do cheer.
Oh, she's not? How do you know?
Because you
said that
you
she
really
wasn't allowed.
The cheer coach for making you wear these, like.
Okay, wait. Let's get prayer requests in before we have this conversation.
I'm going to make sure.
Let's get prayer requests in. This is an after study talk. Prayer requests.
Who was that bad when I was in high school?
Just Cynthia praying
for
me.
For you and Orlando?
Yeah.
Very healthy.
A bowl of first. I thought you were saying because this is your dad.
Oh yeah, for the future. No, but like for her as well, to keep her healthy. Because she's been doing so good.
Any others? Okay.
That was like because of the sister she has to endure. Just kidding.
That's gonna break my heart when she sees me. I'm gonna be
old.
Yeah, it's gonna be horrible.
And I know your
not
surgery.
I feel like I'm gonna die.
I have 3 appointments for.
Oh my.
Boy, she's awful close for that comment.
We have a nurse visit and a physiologist visit.
No kidding.
Yeah, I don't know how I spell any of those, so I'm just saying pre-op.
Pre-op stuff. It's all it is. Stuff to basically
and spell anesthesiologist.
I can barely say the word, let alone spell it.
Yeah, that one doctor that paralyzes me.
Push me to sleep with happy gas.
It paralyzes your body.
It really does.
Yeah.
Any others?
I've never had anesthesia. I've never had surgery. Thank you.
I haven't either, and I will say it's a blessing.
It is.
This could be the third time I've had a surgery in my ear.
Daniel's got.
Man, it sounds like you got a really bad cough over there.
Daniel, you got a prayer request?
You need something to eat?
Pass this down to him. Oh, wait. Yeah, pass this down to him.
Make sure
I had to make sure my half-eaten one was gone out of there first.
Don't pass your germs down here, please.
Wanted me to relay a message. He says hello to everyone. He's on his way home. He says he wants to say thank you for the helping cleaning the yard work. Very much appreciated. Thank you.
I am happy to hear that you're online, Orlando.
No, he's on his way.
While he's driving?
Now that gets, you
know, can
gets, put,
you can
it
tune
gets,
it in and listen.
When it's
yeah.
Church, it's not distracting.
It's horrible,
right?
Yeah.
Right now he 100%
agree.
He's still on the roof. Well, you know he fell twice, right?
Off the roof?
I did not.
What?
Yes, he does. He's kind of trying to be Spider-Man sometimes.
I thought I heard you doing the same thing.
He jumped over.
He pushes himself to land in the grass.
Oh my gosh.
He tried to jump but didn't make it. Oh.
I think about it. You know, we have family that have roof problem and, you know, thank God. But, man, it's dangerous, though.
Gotta hit himself
so
good to take care of the
trigger.
No.
All right.
You guys ready?
Yes, that's
right. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord. Thank you for this time, the study, and the people here physically and online, Lord. We just thank you for everyone, Lord. And we ask that you would continue growing this church, Lord, both spiritually and physically, Lord. Just have your hand over it and bless it and lead it, Lord, and help every person here to be led by your Spirit, not just today, but throughout the week, throughout next week, Lord, and just be with each person here. We ask that you would just keep us all safe as we go home, Lord. Have your hand over us and your guidance over us, Lord, and we ask your hand over Jackie and Orlando and their whole family, their health, their everything, Lord. We just ask your hand over them, Lord. Just have your anointing over them, Lord, over them and the family, Lord, that they would just shine your light ever so brightly to the rest of their family, Lord, that each one would see you, Lord. We ask your hand over Sloan and the family, Lord. Help Sloan to continue being healthy. It's amazing to hear that she is being healthy and getting stronger, Lord. We just ask that you would continue being with them and the family. Just lead them in leadership, Lord. Give them wisdom and understanding on how to raise this child, Lord, and you. We ask that you would just help them be righteous leaders to show this baby how to grow up in you, Lord. And we ask your hand over Tina, Lord, that you just have your healing hand over her. Just keep her safe, Lord, and remove this this issue. Just help her to be fully healed, be fully in you, Lord, that there would be no pain, no issues, Lord, that you would just bless her, Lord. We ask your hand over Memo and his family, Lord, and we ask the same for Memo, that he would be healed, Lord, that this cancer would just leave his body, Lord. One cough and it's all gone, Lord. And just have your blessing over him, Lord. Have your anointing, Lord. Fill him with your spirit each day, Lord, and give him the strength and no pain to get through the day, Lord. And I ask your hand over the family as well, Lord, that they would have peace and understanding and comfort, Lord. That you're there carrying not just Memo, but the family, Lord. That your provision is over them, your protection is over them, and that you're leading and guiding them every day, Lord. We ask your hand over my brother's surgery and pre-operations, Lord. Just help him to have everything done perfectly, Lord. That it would just go through and be done, and that he would get well soon. That you would just remove the pain from him as soon as you could, Lord. Help him to be full of your spirit and have no anxieties or fear, Lord, but to cast it all onto you, Lord. Every day, not just one day. We ask your hand over Yvette, Lord, that you would have your healing hands over her, that you would give her strength each and every day, Lord, both spiritually and physically, Lord. That you would just keep her in your spirit, Lord. Help her to have your spirits, that, and I mean happiness and joy, just help her to have those every single day, Lord. And Lord, we ask your hand over Daniel, Lord, that you would have your provision over him, that you would provide for him with his needs, Lord. And just be with him every day, Lord. Every time I see him, it's a joy. And so we just ask that you would continue having your hands over him. Lord, get us home safely. And we ask this in your son's name. In Jesus' name we say, amen.
Amen.